Hi, I'm Steph.
Hi, I'm T.
You're listening to Au Pair Tea, the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Au Pair Tea.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to Season 3, Episode 13 of Au Pair Tea, the podcast. Hi, Steph.
Hello.
How's it going?
Episode 13.
Unlucky number for some, but lucky for others. How is it going this week? How are you?
Good. Oh, good. Just tired as always, you know, au pair life.
Hashtag au pair life. Yeah. So last week we talked about visas, now that everyone is, you know, on the move again with regards to becoming au pairs.
Yeah,
this week, I'm very excited for this episode. Are you excited?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So backstory, little context for the lovely listeners out there. We got a DM from a host mum, which is very exciting. She slid on into our DMs. And she said, hey, like, I am going to be welcoming an au pair very soon and I need some advice. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you guys the message before we get into this. So it said, hey, I'm a host mom welcoming her first au pair here in less than 2 months. And I was wondering, since you both have had a lot of host family experience, if you could maybe do a podcast on what makes a great host family in your opinion. How do they make you feel super welcomed, etc.? What can we do as the host family to create an awesome environment for the au pair? I love listening to your podcast because it's a great way for me to know the au pair perspective. So straight away, Steph, why is that a great message for us to get?
Well, A, it means that there's many a reason, okay? A is that we're reaching out to host families as well as au pairs, which is great. Great.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. But also, like, just the fact that she's reaching out.
Yes.
And is like, hey, how can I make my au pair feel the most welcomed, comfortable, like, give her a great experience? That just shows what kind of host mom she's going to be. A great one.
That's so encouraging. I love that. Yeah. Even though these people are like adults and they, you know, they have families and they have all these adult jobs and stuff, they're still like, hey, I need some help on something. And I love that. So whoever your au pair is, oh my
gosh,
very
lucky.
So lucky.
Very lucky. She's a host mum with 3 kids and a partner. They live in Florida and they are soon welcoming their first au pair from Brazil.
Isn't that exciting?
So exciting.
I love that.
So, yeah, we have set aside some time to do an episode for you, and we are so, like, it's a pleasure. It's an honor.
I love this, because remember how we said before, like, we want to give you content that you want, not just us chatting shit for an hour.
Exactly.
So, what we decided to do is, obviously, we're going to be giving our perspective, but we thought the best thing to do is to gather information from both sides of the coin. So we put a couple of stories up on our Instagram, and we decided to reach out to the community from au pairs and host parents and get their responses. And we will say a lot of them kind of overlap, which is great. There's some consistency there. So the main questions we asked, we said, what makes a good host family? What can host parents do to make the au pair feel welcome and at home? And then as a side question, we ask au pairs and host families, what have you done? So we have some real world examples. We've not edited them. They are real world.
Yep.
But first of all, we're going to kick off. Steph, what makes a good host family?
What makes a good host family? So one that was kind of repeated a few times was a family that wants the au pair to be a part of that family, not just like an employee, you know, wants to include them in family things and treat them as another member of the family and include them, which is definitely important.
I find that one very interesting because I feel like most people would say that, but I know there have been some people that I actually interviewed, and there are some au pairs that I've spoken to that said the relationship I'm looking for is a kind of official working thing. Like, when I'm off, I'm off. When I'm on, and we don't really talk to each other, and it's very rigid. And that might work for some people, but I feel like this kind of program, I mean, I could be wrong, definitely, and everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but I feel like for this to be very, very successful, you kind of have to be immersed in it. You can't just clock in and clock out and never speak to each other outside of work hours.
I mean,
it's weird.
We said it before, like, there's a thin line between, like, on time and off time, I guess. Like, but, like, for me, I want to be included in as part of the family and, like, hang out with them, but I do also like to, like, finish work and, like, have my own time.
I just don't want to feel like an employee. That's the main thing.
That's
what I think people are getting at. Like, I would hate for that feeling, but, you know, it might work for other people. I think it just depends on the dynamic. But speaking of dynamics, one of the A lot of these kind of came up a million times. So teamwork is obviously essential, and working with your host family, working with your kids, and making sure, you know, it takes time to build that kind of teamwork skill and to kind of figure out what makes people tick. And I mean, yeah. I've talked about how before when I started, I was a bit unsure of how to be helpful. So I asked my host parents, like, literally, what do you want me to do to be helpful in the mornings? And so that all comes down to what's deaf, good what?
communication.
I feel that's like that was the most common answer we got.
Yeah, and I think both of these things, like you said, kind of interlock together, like teamwork and open communication, because being with a family for a year or 2 years, things are going to change all the time, and you need to be flexible, and so do they. And so, like, you have to communicate all the time and work together to make things run smoothly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, having open communication is so important. And that's not just from the host family's view either. That's also from the au pair perspective as well. If you're struggling, you should feel like you can communicate to them and say, you know, I need some help, or I need to have a chat, and not feel like you can't do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's always ways around it as well. There's always people you can go to. Like, your LCC is a huge support, so make sure you use them if communication is something you're struggling with, or even cultural care themselves, reach out to them if you're struggling with how to best communicate.
As a host family, you need to communicate kind of what you want the au pair, like what you want out of them, because you can't just expect them to be reading your mind and know what you want and know how they can do the best that they can. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need to communicate to them, or if they're not doing something you're happy with, you also need to communicate to them as well and talk about it. It needs to be open.
Yeah, I agree with that. And with good communication, obviously, comes respect. So, obviously,
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
love that song. So, respect. So, as much as obviously the au pair should respect the home, the family, and all of that, on the host family side, I think some people, I'm not saying host families don't respect their au pairs, but I think you just kind of need to be aware and just kind of remember that these people, you know, they've, someone's come to your home from a different country by themselves. They're usually very young and they're usually female, and it's a new kind of experience, and they're going to get things wrong, and that's fine. But obviously have respect for them and their work, and make them, because that's going to make them feel at home. Like, if you respect them, not just as an employee, but as someone, like, invest in them, emotionally invest in them, I think it's really
like,
important.
This is their whole life. Like,
yeah,
this is their
we live in at the moment, don't we? Young life. People.
Yeah.
This is their life for like a year. So respect the big decision and the hell of, like, it takes balls to do what we do. I'm just saying it does.
Oh, it really
so respect
does.
That decision that they made.
Yeah. Also in terms of respect, this kind of interlocks in, is kind of, yes, the program has rules and there is things that the au pair has to follow and the host family have to follow, but don't kind of abuse those rules. Don't, you know, there can be a curfew, but don't do it to the point where, like, they have to be home at 10 p.m. on a weekend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Remember that they're a young adult.
Exactly. Treat them like an adult, as like your equal, not as somebody that's under you. And don't, like, use the program as a way to, like, control them.
Yeah.
You know?
I think with respect, I think if you respect your au pair and you treat them like an individual, you treat them with an art, and you show them that you trust them, that's going to make, they're going to reciprocate that. Like, I, obviously, there are different au pairs that do different things, but, like, there are things I do for my host family that they've never asked me to do. Like, they've never said, like, please do this kind of chore or whatever, but I do it because they respect me and I want to do it. You know what I mean? So I feel like your relationship will be better and you'll get so much more out of it if there's mutual respect. Respect works both ways, and one way you could respect them is to include them in a family event, and you could say, hey, look, we respect what you're doing and we want to include you and we want to make you feel like a part of us. So include them in family events, and sometimes they will accept the invitation, sometimes they'll reject it, and a lot of the time I think it's just the invitation that really matters.
Being asked. I don't think host families sometimes realize how much it means to an au pair to be invited to something like a dinner, or even like something massive like a vacation, or even if the family were taking a picture and they were like, oh, come and get in the picture with us. Like, to include them in small things like that makes an au pair's day. Like, they, like, we love it because we feel so, like, included.
Yeah,
you know, like, I go to family dinner like not every Sunday, because sometimes I want to have my own time, but sometimes I'll go to family dinner on Sundays. And just to be included in that, when I know it's like their family time, like that means a lot to me.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. And speaking of obviously time, please be considerate of the au pair's time. I mean, yeah. Don't make them feel guilty if after work they want to go in their room and just decompress, or, you know, don't kind of question like, why are you out with your friends all the time? You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Obviously au pairs, you as an au pair, we need to be respectful of boundaries and, you know, sometimes curfews and making time. But I spend time with my host family outside of my work hours. But at the same time, I need time to myself. I need time to my friends. And my host family completely understand that. And they're like, hey, look, as long as you're safe and we know you're okay, that's fine. Like, in the nicest way, we don't care. So be considerate of the au pair's time. And that kind of also goes back to what you said, Steph, about program rules. Don't think, okay, very rarely, Steph, and I think you'll kind of agree, sometimes, you know, it might be that, oh, your host dad is running late back from work, and so you need to stay an extra 10 minutes because he's in traffic or anything like that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's happened to me and it's fine. But if that is something that consistently happens, then as the host parent, you need to rethink your schedule, because 10 minutes every now and then is fine.
Adds up.
But if it happens all the time, yeah, exactly, it's going to add up. So
yeah.
You need to be very considerate and don't just think, oh, it's only 10 minutes. Okay. There are rules there for a reason. And so
yeah,
I think that goes back to respect.
Yeah. And also the same thing with connecting it to the program rules. Like the rules are we need one weekend off a month and 1.5 consecutive days. That doesn't mean that the other 3 weekends you should make the au pair work. I get it. Like, obviously if you have work commitments and you work weekends, if you're like, I don't know, a doctor or whatever, you need that, but you need to respect that, like, we don't just come here to work, like we come here to experience the culture, the country. Mm-hmm. Travel is a part of it, and we kind of use our weekends for that specifically. Yeah. So to respect that the au pair uses that time to do those things is important as well.
Yes. God, I sound like we're like bitching at host families.
No, not at all. It works in both ways. Like the au pair also kind of it's comes from an au pair point of view and a host family point of view. Mm-hmm. But this is about being a good host family, not a good au pair. So
yeah.
And the next one actually is from Sir Ricky.
Oh my gosh, shout out to Ricky, my host dad, who he replies to like most of our stories. I love Ricky.
He does. T, do you want to say what he said?
You can go for it.
Okay.
This is not the first time we're going to mention him this episode, by the way.
Definitely not. he said a good host family needs an incredible host mum.
That's him bigging his wife up there. Pretty fucking fantastic. Shout out to Dr. I love that. That's part of the reason why I love my host family, is that they're so like, they support each other, they kind of have great banter, and we just kind of we egg each other on all the time, and like we celebrate the small things. But yeah, having a good sense of humor, we're going to tie that into, have a good sense of humor. Sure. Guys, if you don't have a sense of humor, you need to seriously get one, because you won't live otherwise.
yeah, like, we're young adults. Right, yeah. Slash teenagers, depending on what age you came here.
Gosh, I couldn't come at 18. No way.
Never.
No. British people.
But my host family are currently like on the search for an au pair for when I leave, which is crazy. But
bad.
A lot of them are 18, 19, and I'm like, you guys, hats off.
I would be like, hell no.
Yeah. But you know, we are very bantery people. We like a bit of a humorous conversation. We do. Being able to like joke around with your au pair and have little like. Have a laugh with them. Just makes them feel a lot more comfortable.
Having in jokes is also the best thing ever. It's so good. Just relax. I love this one. And I think this is one thing that really, really makes a great host family and strengthens mm-hmm. the relationship. If, as a host parent, you take an interest in your au pair's hobbies or their life outside of work, so relating to them, you know, make sure you can relate to them in a way that isn't related to the kids. So it could be that you go. So my friend Kat is a hockey umpire for field hockey, and we went to one of her matches and her host family came to that. Or I don't know, if you play a musical instrument, they might come to one of your events. Or, you know, my host family are very supportive of Au Pair Tea and the podcast.
Yeah, I was about to say, my host mum loves this podcast. She listens to every single one of our episodes.
What's up, Ange?
She always comes up with ideas for us. I actually shot an idea at her the other day because we want her to come on for an episode, and I was like, hey, Ange,
hey babe,
you up for this? She was like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. We love Ange. I think that's great. And I feel like a lot of these will link up and kind of go back to each other, but that goes back to obviously my brain's not even working. Taking an interest in the au pair's hobbies, that kind of shows that you respect them and you appreciate them as a person, yeah, not just their employee. And it shows that you actually give a shit and you invest in them. Like me and my husband will go to the gym every Saturday morning together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we watch movies or whatever. And like I took her to the movies for her birthday. So just being interested in them. And on the flip side, au pairs, I know this is about good host families, but au pairs, take an interest in what your host parents do. Like yeah, if they play a sport, or you know, if they are part of an amateur dramatic society or anything like that, like take an interest in them as well, because it shows that you care about them and you should mm-hmm. care about them.
Oh, yeah. I think also is sort of the same coming from a host family, is like things that they're interested in doing while they're here. So like if like the au pair really wanted to see like a baseball game or a basketball game, maybe taking them to do that,
I think that's, you know, a great piece of advice,
is amazing. Yeah, because that again means a lot to the au pair, because you're not only like bonding with them, but you're giving mm-hmm. something to their experience as well.
Yeah,
ticking stuff off their bucket list with them, like I think that's great.
I think that's good. So maybe to the host mom that asked us this question, maybe you could ask your au pair when they arrive or even before, like, hey, what kind of things are on your bucket list? Is it a food you want to try? Is it a thing you want to do? Is it a place you want to see? And then you could either do things with them, or like for their birthday or something, or for a weekend, you could just surprise them with something from their bucket list. And I think
yeah,
that shows that you're investing in them as a person. Mm-hmm. So that's a great tip from au pair T.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what we're here for. So one thing, I love this one, and that is create a welcoming vibe. Yes. But also sustain yes. that. Keep it going through the whole year.
That's the key.
Like, don't just be like the first week, be like, oh, is there anything you need? Oh, no, here's this and that and this and that. But keep it going. Like, continuously make the au pair feel welcome. Feel like they're welcomed in your home and they're part of your family. Like, again, it's part of the family kind of thing. But
yeah,
don't make them feel like they're some stranger that's living in one of your bedrooms. Like,
oh, gosh.
Actually, like, keep that welcoming vibe, the positive aura, like keep yeah. it going throughout the whole time. Make them feel comfortable
yeah
every day.
And it doesn't have to be something that's, when we say that, it sounds like, oh, it's something exhausting that I have to physically always be on top of. It's not. It could literally be like getting home from work and just asking them about their day to yeah. show that you're interested. It could literally be that, you know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. you know, anything like that. But obviously there's going to be times during the time that they're with you that it's going to be hard. They're going to have homesickness. Something might happen at home. They may feel God knows what. I mean, we go through a lot of emotions.
God, we go through a lot.
I think cultural care say around month five is probably one of the most common months when homesickness really, really hits you.
Yeah.
So I think it's extremely important for host parents to have empathy, because yeah. like we said earlier, we are predominantly young females coming from a foreign country, and we are living in this, we're essentially moving into a country with no friends, no family, and we've never met you guys before. So that's scary as shit, can I just say?
It's literally terrifying.
so if you notice that they're a little bit off, or even if they come to you and say, hey, I'm homesick, please, please, please take the time to kind of talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. Ask how you can help. Even think about things you might be able to do beforehand. We've done two episodes on homesickness, so yeah. it's worth going back for host families and au pairs, going back and picking something out and being like, okay, I'm gonna try this, okay? Yeah. And one way that you could maybe help to combat homesickness and kind of have empathy is connect with your au pair's family from home.
Yeah,
that to show that you two have a bond, that would make the au pair feel so much more supported. Yeah, mm-hmm. So please don't just kind of wash homesickness aside. Like, it's extremely important.
It can affect people differently. Like, I had spouts of homesickness here and there in my first year, but nothing concerning. Like, it kind of just brushed off, and it was just when I was like really tired or really stressed or whatever.
Yeah.
But we've had DMs from people that really suffer from yeah. homesickness.
You know, it can spiral.
Yeah. And some, you know, some cultures from different countries, their families are very close-knit, like very, like the grandparents yeah. live with them, all this kind of stuff, you know, like, and yeah. that's part of their culture, and being away from that can be so difficult.
Yeah,
so just like, yeah, just
don't underestimate how powerful homsickness can be.
Yeah, because it can literally cause an au pair to like leave.
It can, and it has.
Yeah. And it has, yeah. It can't. It, they just can't cope with being away from that, from home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, always have empathy and listen to the au pair, understand their emotions, even if that's, like, some, we're young, like we said this before, we don't always come out with our feelings.
Yeah.
So understanding them and looking at them and thinking, okay, she seems a bit down today. She seems a bit quiet, more quiet than usual. Like, mm-hmm. I should have a chat with her. Just constantly checking in, like, are you okay? Do you want to have a chat? Maybe, like, at the end of the week, like, when they first arrive or the first few months, like, how do you think this week went? Have you had mm-hmm. a good week? You know, that kind of thing. Just checking in with them, making sure they're okay regularly.
Yeah. And that'll come with time. As long mm-hmm. the more you get to know your au pair, the more you will understand their emotions and how they deal with it and their body language. You will pick it up. So I wouldn't want a host family to think about, like, listen to this and go, God, I need to be constantly watching my au pair. No, you don't. You just need to be a human, okay? And it will come with time and it will come naturally. But
yeah, it's, but like when you make a new friend, like, after a while,
find out what makes them tick.
Start just picking up things that they do that you think, okay, that's not normal, they're not okay, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
But you're around these people, like, if it's a friend, for example, you don't see them every day, you're okay yeah. them every day, so it's, like, different, like, you're going to pick it up naturally
and definitely
understand them.
Yeah. And if you need support, your LCC will have so many resources and bits of advice about homesickness, because yeah. it happens a lot, so oh, yeah. don't be scared to reach out, host moms and dads.
Also,
mm-hmm.
this is very important. I liked this one. When we read it, we were both like, oh yeah, that's a good one.
It's even in capitals, guys, on our document in front of us.
So again, this goes both ways for au pairs and host families, but again, we'll talk about host families. But be transparent with all information in the matching / interview process.
Repeat that, Steph, so people understand it.
Be transparent with all information in the matching / interview process.
Yes.
Au pairs need to know everything they're walking into. Yes. Everything.
Yes. There is, honestly, it shocks me from stories that people have told us how, like, big things are not mentioned or even yeah. thought about during matching. And I'm like, mm-hmm. holy shit, how did you skip over that? And then they get to America and it's a big shock. There was one au pair, side note, who didn't know that her host kid had a severe learning disability mm-hmm. and they had difficulties yep. and they needed medication. The host family just didn't tell them, in the nicest way to cultural care. I don't know how that got past them and yeah. wasn't on their profile. Literally. But she walked in and this poor child needed all this extra support and she felt completely overwhelmed and underqualified.
Yeah. One of the girls in my LCC group, she had just rematched from a different state and come here because she turned up and her host mum was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
But she didn't tell her this on the interview.
Oh, goodness.
So she thought Kim's going to go and look after one kid, and then she turned up and her host mum was pregnant. But she had been pregnant for, like, a while, like, she was nearly due.
Damn. How did that get past anyone?
I know.
I mean,
that's we could, two kids, not one.
We could argue on the flip side that the au pair, I think it's a responsibility for both people. Au pairs, you should be asking equally. Every single question yeah. you can. And you should be, you know, write it down and what is important to you. And we've done countless bits of work on this. So if you need any question ideas, hit us up. But yes, host parents, even if it's a piece of information that you don't think is that significant, if it affects the schedule or the au pair or the children, please include it. Please. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Even if it's something that affects everyday life, these people are coming in to join your everyday life. So they need to know, like, everything.
Yes.
That goes on.
It's insane how much people don't share.
Yeah. I know it's hard, you know, when you yeah. don't know someone, you don't 100% know if you're going to match with them. You know, you don't know what you should and shouldn't be telling them. But, yeah. you know, there needs to be transparency. There needs to be honesty. There needs to mm-hmm. be respect. So you need yeah. to just tell them everything.
Yeah,
and no information is too much.
Definitely, you know? Not because it's a big decision. Again, we're moving thousands of miles across the world, guys.
And they're going to find out train home. From yeah. both ways. They're going to find out eventually. Yeah,
like, so nobody's going to know. Well, they're going to know this time, hon. Okay, this next one is something that I feel like when there's an issue with a host family, this is 70% of the time it's about this.
Yeah,
and this is so important and it's going to go both ways. Flexibility around schedule hours and vacation time. Okay, yeah. Hear us out here, guys. Host families, a lot of you expect au pairs to be flexible. That's fine. Comes with the territory. Kids are crazy. You know, we're always flexible. However, when it comes to respect and communication, I'm just going to say right now, I don't think it's fair if host families expect au pairs to be flexible and au pairs are flexible and then they don't reciprocate that.
Yeah.
I think, mm-hmm. obviously, I know work is very important and, you know, sometimes you just can't move things around. However, it's when host families aren't willing to try. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I'm not yeah. saying you have to bend over backwards and move a really important work meeting. Of course not. It might not work. But two-way street, guys. We will yeah. be as flexible as possible with you. And, you know, we will move things around. The amount of times me and my host family have had to move things around and make it work is just insane. But it's a respect thing and it's mutual. So please be flexible with vacation. A lot of the time, I don't know, it could be, hey, can I get off early on Friday so that I can drive somewhere with my friends and have a long weekend?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And or it could be, oh, hey, like someone's invited me to a baseball game. Is there any chance I could, you know, finish work an hour early? You know, something mm-hmm. like that. I think
yeah.
this is what creates, I don't understand why this creates, I mean, I do, but it creates so much like stress between host families and yeah, it sometimes. It's just the hours and flexibility. And I think part of it comes from, and this is just from what other au pairs and host families have said, and most of the time it's people who are new to the program, like on both sides, it's mm-hmm. you have to be rigid and stick to the schedule. No, you don't. As long as you're within your guidelines
yeah.
and it works, it doesn't matter. And I spoke to, very briefly, I spoke to a host mom. I think it was a long time ago. But she, one of her struggles with this is that she was saying, oh, well, I was under the impression that I had to stick to the schedule that I'd put on the profile. And I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah. No, because things change all the time. Mine isn't exactly the same as mine because my kids are in different schools, either. They're in different ages and things yeah. like that. So my main thing is just be willing to be flexible and don't be rigid. As long as you're within your hours and everyone's happy, it's yeah. fine.
Like we mentioned before, like au pairs will probably use the majority of their weekends to travel. And sometimes that means they need like a Friday to be able to fly somewhere, mm-hmm. but still have like a decent amount of time in the destination they're going to, you know, so having that flexibility is great. And if like, so my host family will sometimes like give me a Friday afternoon off or a Friday off, but I'll make up the hours somewhere else to help them out in return. So it's like a, you know?
Yeah. I think this kind of links to a point that we had later, but I'm going to throw it in now, is having a clear schedule. So again, I mean, I think we can both attest to this, like having a clear schedule is paramount. There is an au pair yeah. in my LCC group right now, and she's been here for 7 or 8 months. She doesn't have a clear schedule because I'm like, when am I supposed to see you? Like, I'd love to hang out with you. Do you know? And I said, well, how do you get your schedule? And because I get mine every Sunday night and
yeah.
I have it for the upcoming week. And I think that's kind of normal for a lot of people. Some people have uh-huh. it a month ahead or whatever. She gets her schedule every morning via text day by day. And the host mom just goes, hey, I need you from like 7 till 3. And then I'll let you know if I need you a bit longer. And I'm like, well, how are you supposed to plan anything?
Yeah, you can't. Like, you need
That's not fair.
The program actually states that you have to have your schedule 2 weeks in advance.
Yeah, I feel like so many people, this happens a lot, like you just don't have a clear schedule. And yeah. within that schedule, I mean, for me personally, like my schedule, like it's great and my host parents great, but people that, I don't know, I think it depends on the kids and any activities. But like if my host parents just said, hey, we need you 7 till 5, I'll be like, okay, like if it was a work day. But like within my schedule, I have my hours, and then it's like girls have swim. Blah, blah, blah. There's notes within that. Not that I'm stupid, but it's just kind of things to be important about. But having a clear schedule is one way to ensure that a lot of these hiccups don't happen and that the bond isn't awkward.
Yeah.
So please be clear, host families. Please. Yeah. And stick to it and be flexible. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
I think what you said about, I also do this, but get your schedule like every Sunday for the week ahead. You know, and if anything changes, then give the au pair like a bit of advance notice, you know, like the one thing I hate, which used to happen in my old host family, was sometimes I wouldn't get my schedule and I wouldn't, what time do I set my alarm for? You know, like,
I know, how the hell are you supposed to know when to get up?
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to sleep in, but until what time, ma'am?
Yeah.
That would really stress me out. I don't know how you ever did that.
And it does, because imagine you'll have that stress and that like comes through in your work as well. So you're just creating a stressful environment for your au pair if you do that. Make yeah. sure that everything is smooth and stress-free.
Which perfectly links onto our next point, Stephanie, of creating a healthy work environment.
Oh, it does.
That was very smooth. Go on, girl. You did that one. You can take this one.
It kind of the same, you know, like you have to create a healthy work environment. How it's the same as like if you worked in an office, if there was something stressful going on at home and then you went to the office, you're going to bring that stress with you to the office. They say leave your stress at home.
It's very well, difficult sometimes with this job.
So hard. But if you create a positive environment for your au pair, like the first thing you walk downstairs to is a good morning, how was your sleep? Ooh. Then you're going to be a lot better throughout the day than if you went downstairs and they were like, oh, we don't know what's happening. Oh, you know?
Yeah.
And I know it's really hard because sometimes, yeah. you know, things go a bit crazy in the morning and things happen and kids
someone's lost a shoe. And
exactly. But just creating a nice work environment, having communication again.
Communication.
To this, telling your au pair what they're doing, when they're doing it, how, you know.
Yeah.
Just makes everything run a lot more smooth.
Yeah. Honestly, what you just said, even just saying good morning, like every single morning I come upstairs and my host is like, good morning. I'm like, morning, Ricky, like, what's up? So literally even that, it's just basic politeness, guys. But anyway.
Yeah. My host mum even makes Henry say good morning to me just to like, good morning.
Good morning, babes. How are you? I get a morning hug from Hayley every single morning. She goes, T, we forgot our morning hug. I'm like, come on in, girl. yeah. And part of creating a healthy work environment is showing appreciation for even the smallest things. Now, I'm not saying you have to, you know, be condescending to your pet, like, oh my God, well done. You loaded the dishwasher. You're so cool. Go you. But even literally saying, oh, I noticed that you put the kids' laundry away. Thank you. Or I know you've started dinner. Thank you. Or, you know, like, oh, mm-hmm. we heard that the kids had a good day. That's amazing. Like, thank you for doing this or that. Like, the smallest things. Like, you don't have to, like, buy them gift cards or buy them big fancy things.
Yeah,
just saying thank you means so much.
It goes a long way.
And it shows that you respect their work and it shows that you appreciate them. So please just appreciate them. And they'll do the same stuff too. Like, they'll do the same back to you.
Yeah, because most of the time, because we live in the house we work in, we tend to just do things here and there that we don't necessarily need to do. It's just because we live here too and it's part of being part of the family.
Yeah.
So just noticing those small things.
Yeah.
It really makes the au pair feel good. Like today I sent my host mom, my host dad, some photos of like what happened throughout the day. My host mom was like, oh, thank you so much for sending those. That meant a lot to me. I love them.
Yeah.
And like just that, knowing that I made her day by sending her some pictures of what the boys were doing, because it was the first day back in the office again today. So like just doing that. And she said, thank you. Just like, oh, you're welcome.
Well, I think me and my host parents, we talk in gifts a lot of the time in our group chat. it's interesting as well, I'll say. But anyway, we're getting to the end of this first question. It's been a long one, but I think it's the most important question that we did is about respecting boundaries. Now, there are many boundaries that need to be respected, but I wouldn't even know. Like, I think respecting boundaries within like the official terms, so respecting the boundaries of the au pair program, as in the rules you need to follow, respecting boundaries in terms of, you know, let your au pair have a personal life. I think it depends on, I think, their age. I think it depends on their age and their maturity level and the relationship you have. But my host parents and I, like I said earlier, like, we're very respectful of each other's boundaries. They are not in my face being like, who are you going out with? Where are you going? When are you back? It's more of, hey, like, have a good time. Like, just make sure when you come home, set the alarm and let us know you're safe, okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll be like, oh, like, are you staying out tonight? And I'll say, hey, I'm staying at my friend Radley's house. Like, okay, cool, whatever. But they're not going to grill me when I come back. They might ask me how my night was. But, you know, respect the boundaries. The au pairs, as much, you know, I know that you, as a host parent, you employ them technically and you pay them and they're part of your family. But they don't have to share every single detail with you. And I'm not saying that they're keeping secrets, but I mean, in the nicest way, you're not going to share every single detail of your life with them, you know, your personal stuff. And they do have, they're not just an au pair, they're humans. Like, this is not just a human, this is like an M&S human. If you're British, you'll understand that joke. But yeah, just respect the boundaries of the au pair. And
I think also one thing is their own space. So, like, obviously, they have a place where they sleep.
Yes.
Room, bathroom.
I would hope so.
They have to, so. But, you know, respecting that that's their space. And, like, with the kids, especially if they're a bit older, maybe, like, not letting them just walk into the au pair's room. Like, making sure there's when the doors close, you can't go in there. You have to knock first. Like, making sure there's a line there where the kids know that, like, okay, Steph's off now, so if the door's closed, you need to knock first.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, right?
I think that's important, yeah.
Yeah.
Give them some space. So
We get stressed, guys. We get stressed.
We just need 5 minutes, all right? So I think that was the biggest chunk of this episode, and I think it was good that we took the time. So this next part, we broke the question into two. So it was, what can host parents do to make the au pair feel welcome and at home? So physically, what can they do? And then we asked for real life examples from au pairs and host families. So one of the biggest things that I don't think that host families think about is helping as much as possible with admin when the au pair arrives. So helping them make a social security appointment, helping them to get their license, helping them to open a bank account, just those admin tasks that we have to get done when we get here. Because when a lot of us are navigating an entirely new language, let alone an entirely new culture. So, you know, Steph and I, we had difficulties and we speak English. So, you know what I mean? There was no language barrier. So bless all the au pairs who have two or three other languages that they speak at home. So, helping them. And I think cultural care also send you a little list to be like, hey, make sure this gets done within this time frame. So, yeah, admin. Think about admin, guys.
Yeah, because it's stressful stuff.
Oh, it is bloody stressful, especially with COVID and delays and crap. Yeah. So get ahead of that, please. Thank you very much.
Also, another thing you can do is a bit nicer for you as well, is you can make the au pair's favourite dish or, you know, a dessert or something that they like from their home country. For example, you could make us some scones.
Ooh, yummy.
Right? You could research some of the recipes from their home country. I'm sure if you typed in the, you know, popular recipes in South Africa, you would find, like, some recipes that you could whip up for your au pair. That would just make them feel so at home.
Yeah, and it would be fun. It doesn't even have to go right. It's just the experience, I think.
Exactly, and it could be the shittest thing ever. A bonding thing for you, too. You could make it together and have, like, a bit of host family time, get the kids involved. Like, it could
have a cook-off.
Really fun. Exactly. Like, it could be so fun, and it can build, it could be a great, end up being a great memory.
Aww,
for you guys as well.
Sweet.
My host mom made me some scones over Christmas.
Well done, Ange.
More at home, and they were really good as well.
Oh my god,
she got proper clotted cream as well.
My gosh, we stan. I remember, like, not long after I got here, Ricky was like, tell me, like, some of your favorite dishes. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, spag bol. But, like, my dad makes a really good one. And Ricky found this recipe, and bless his heart, oh my gosh, it was like a 7-hour recipe. Like, the bolognese had to simmer for like 7 freaking hours.
Oh my god.
And so the fact, it tasted great, but the fact that he did that was really, really sweet. So, like, your host mom making the cake with you and scones and stuff, and I'm like, oh my god, so do something fun with them. It was delicious, Ricky, thank you very much. Another one is, this is what I think a lot of people do this in the first week or the first weekend, is giving a tour of the local area, because it's like, hey, here's your house, but then it's like, shit, where's Target?
Where's Chick-fil-A? That's very important.
Yeah, where are the local playgrounds? And, you know, some au pairs, like, I did a little bit of exploring by myself, but I think it's good for you to take them out as a host family and show them some key points of where they'll be a lot, where they will be going to, where the store is, where the gas station is, where some parks are, you know, where's the mall. Just give them a little tour, and if there's any kind of, like, things that only residents know, you know, or if there's a little secret, like, gem or whatever, let them know. Tell them about it.
I also think if you have an au pair before, I think a good thing is getting that au pair to tell the new au pair places that they took the kids. Yes. Because sometimes the host parents have no idea what parks the au pair's been taking them to.
Oh my god, literally me. Sometimes my host parents are like, wait, which one are you at? And I'm like, I'm at Bailiwick today.
So, like, getting the au pair to send a list of places that they take the kids like, it's really good as well if you have an au pair before. So yeah, just letting them get to know the area. We normally, Au Pairs normally arrive with you on a Saturday, so, or on Friday or Saturday. So it's a perfect time to take them out and let them look around and take them to some good places in your area.
Mm-hmm.
Also, while you're doing this, you could also introduce them to neighbours. If you're friends with your neighbours, you're close with them, you see them a lot, that's nice for them too.
Oh, lovely.
If there's like people that, like family friends that have kids that do play dates with your kids a lot, or vice, like whatever, people in the neighbourhood, it's always nice to get them involved in the community and get them to let them know people around, so there's familiar faces.
Yeah, we've got some bloody brilliant neighbours. Oh my goodness, I go to the gym with two of mine. Great. Oh, they're lovely. I love them so much. God, I love them.
I don't know any of my neighbors actually.
Oh, we do this thing. Well, I wherever I live in the future, like when I'm an actual adult, like a functioning adult, I am going to do my best to get to know like some of my neighbors really well and do what we do here, like have each other over to each other's houses, watch sport or whatever, and eat some food and just chill. And because, oh my god, it's so much fun and it's great. And like, I know I can text, you know, my neighbors, be like, hey, need some help, you know, the amount of times I've borrowed like some a baking item from Amy down the road, I'm like, geez, mercy. But anyway, and then things that you can do to make them feel welcome on their first day, this is what a lot of people said, like a lot of people said the
a
same
lot
thing
of people said this, yeah.
Is give them some, like have something in their room ready for them, so welcome photos, a banner, a basket of treats. So like Steph had like some toiletries, a portable speaker, some treats from England, towels, Bath and Body Works goodies, so you know, toiletries and a couple of comfort items. And
yeah,
you know, you can give them a couple of surprises, but it would be great if you reached out to your parents and said, hey, are there any photos that you would like us to put in your bedroom, is there anything is specific you would like. So my host mom reached out to me before I came and I said I would love some fairy lights. I didn't know they were called twinkle lights here, but we figured that out eventually. So I've got some fairy lights in my room, and then she took me to Target and she was like, hey, here's some money, go get what you want to make your room feel comfortable. So I did. So, you know, I'm not saying you have to spend hundreds of dollars, but just making sure that they can put their own stamp on in their safe zone, I think.
Yeah,
very
like
important.
My host mom just messaged me and she says, I'm just sorting out your room, what's your favorite color, so I can like make a little color scheme. And I was
lemon.
Like, my favorite color is sage green.
Sage green.
Oh, and so I have like sage color. Green comforter, and like my towels were sage green and stuff like that. Just like, it's just make your room nice.
Bougie.
Also, you see a lot that like kids will make welcome banners for the au pair, like welcome to United States, which is always really nice too.
And also the classic Starbucks mug from your home state. So NC one. Classic move by host parents.
Always a good one too.
Love it, yeah.
And then last but not least, again, we're back with Ricky. He's back again, ladies and gentlemen.
Guess who's back?
And back something again. That host parents can do to make the au pair feel welcome, apparently, is be a badass host dad.
He is pretty badass. He's for somebody who's got a lot of responsibility at work, he is such a chill guy. He's so cool. He's pretty badass, and we share things and like we both love Lord of the Rings, so I just love Lord of the Rings so much. But yeah, Ricky's pretty badass. Yeah, there's not much to say apart
love
from he's badass.
Just be badass host parents, honestly.
Honestly, yeah. And then the second part of this question was, what have host families done to welcome their au pairs? And so we're just going to whiz through the actual real world examples. These are not from us. These are from au pairs and host families. So Steph, let's go.
So we got what we just kind of said was give a welcome banner, basket, flowers, take the au pair out for dinner, let the au pair choose where you go. So she she was taken to her first American, which is
lovely.
Very nice.
Lovely. Spend time together outside of work, grab lunch together. You could do this not just when they arrive, but like maybe a month down the line, like maybe the host, one of the parents takes them out, show them the local area when they arrive. Next one.
Someone was given some candy, Target gift card even, and a host kid gave her a welcome banner.
This next one, the host family, the entire family welcomed her at the airport. They gave them personal space and time at home to kind of get her bearings and settle in, which I think is hugely important, especially if you're jet lagged.
Yeah, for sure. It's so overwhelming when you first arrive, so it's always nice to have your own time.
The heat was exhausting.
This person's host family stocked her bathroom with essential toiletries, which is amazing because I tell people, like, don't even pack toiletries, just get them when you get here because it takes up so much space.
Yes. Imagine if your shampoo leaked everywhere. Jesus.
Yeah, just don't bring toiletries. Get them when you get here.
Don't do it.
And most of the time, your host family will provide.
This one made my heart sing. So this is from an au pair who said, the first time I saw my host mum, she hugged me, and I think this was at the airport, and at that moment I knew it was right. And I'm like, oh, so literally, what can you do to welcome them? Give them a just give them a hug.
Lovely. This person says that her host family are always happy to talk to her if she's homesick, and they show me that they care.
Another au pair said that the host family asked the au pair if they needed anything for their arrival, so she asked for a laundry basket. That's very practical. Good
it's
for
very
you.
Simple things like that. Like, can I have a trash can in my room? Can I have a laundry basket?
No.
You know,
I have a fan because I used to get really, really hot.
Yeah, and they will provide. They
yes.
Will provide.
Ask and they shall provide.
This person was taken ice cream the first week she got there.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor, Steph?
I'm just a vanilla girl, honestly, but with some chocolate sauce on.
Oh, saucy. I'm a mint choc chip girl. Anyway.
Oh, I do like a bit of mint choc chip, I won't lie.
This one is...
I like cookie dough too.
Oh, gosh, yes, I love that. This one I love because it's very thoughtful. So this au pair said that her host family knew that she loved books, so they put together some instructions for her on how to get a library card in their area. That is so bloody thoughtful.
Love it.
Good for
it's
you.
It's actually a great thing. I love books too, and I have a library card, and I love going to the library. And I also I take my host kid to the library too, and we just have a little library date together.
Nothing like a bit of library.
Library. So this au pair watched a movie with her host family on her first night, which I think is really nice.
That's sweet. I wonder what movie it was. Probably Greatest Showman or something. What if it was like I don't know, Hunger
Conjuring.
Games? Oh my god, The Conjuring. This one is the classic. The kids made welcome signs and the family made her favorite dish from her home country, and then they also gave her a basket of American candy. Classic move,
love
host
it.
Family. Love it. It's
love
a classic
it.
For
American
a reason.
Candy. You can't go wrong.
No, you can't.
And then the next one I love. So this girl's host mum invited her to a painting class alongside her host mum's friends, which I think is really nice that she got involved in that.
Oh,
I love that.
You guys are so cute.
Love it.
Oh my goodness. So this episode was a pleasure for us to do because it was something that someone actually asked us for. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of stuff that goes into being a host family, but I think we kind of just want to point out that don't stress yourself out. If you're a host parent listening to this, you're going to be okay.
You're going to be fine.
If you're listening to this, you're probably going to be great anyway because you're listening to this.
Because you're listening to this. And it all comes down to one thing.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Communication. Would that not have been embarrassing if we said something completely different?
Yeah. You were like
Starbucks.
Chick-fil-A. No, seriously though, it all comes down to communication from both ends.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, just being honest, respectful, and communicating, just it goes a long way and it really helps.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
It does. And as well as communication, I think our main piece of advice is to enjoy the experience because it's a hell of an experience for both sides of the coin.
Oh,
it's
for sure.
Amazing.
It can be the best. It can be the best thing or the worst thing. It just depends how you approach it, and if you approach it with good communication, respect, open mindedness, and laughs, you'll have a great time.
Yes, and don't always assume that you're right because you're a host parent. Because hell no. Have respect.
Literally listen to your pair. If they bring up something that doesn't seem right or they aren't happy with, don't get annoyed. Just like have a conversation.
Yeah.
Don't try and, you know, find common ground there, you know?
Yeah. Oh, bless.
To the host mum that messaged us, we wish you all the luck with your host family experience and we hope it's amazing.
Please let us know how it's going.
Please keep us updated. We hope this episode helped you and any other host family who are looking to host au pairs.
Yes, and I think what we would like to do, and I think we'll kind of get working on that, is we will collate some of these answers that people got and we will share them on our Instagram so you can kind of reference them, because this is obviously, like we said, this has come from real au pairs and host we didn't write any of this list.
We didn't write any of this. This is all from people that follow us and
au
pairs and host families.
Yeah.
So Yes, and a lot of things were repeated, which just shows that it's all correct.
Yes, love it. You're going to be fine, whoever you are. And fun. So, for the end of this episode, the emoji, can we please have the Earth emoji? Ooh, the world. I love that one because we're global, aren't
that's
we?
That's a good one.
Like vibes.
Yeah. So we hope this episode was helpful. We loved recording it for you, and we'll be back next week.
We will.
Bye-bye. Have fun, Zane.
Bye. And that's the tea.
Subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Instagram at @opairtea for more.
Thanks for listening.